Chapter 10, The Battle for the Bridge.
Juice might have had enough enthusiasm to fly them all to the bridge, but five people couldn't safely cling to his back without risking falling off. Narayana, ever the leader, volunteered to stay, but Elisa pointed out the folly of that suggestion. "You're the best fighter of the three of us, Narayana. I'll stay behind with Tara to watch Safe and the babies and to help pack," she said. No one debated Elisa's point, and Juice was rocketing skyward moments later with Narayana, Stavius, Rosera, and Janice on his back. Juice flew high into the darkening twilight sky and circled over the river as the team studied their objective. The five could see a small camp on the southern end of the bridge. Soldiers were working hard to clear the rock and dirt which was blocking the bridge. They had nearly completed the excavations, and other workers were busily inspecting and repairing parts of the span which were damaged by Juice's and Narayana's attack. The most disturbing sights, however, were the lights set up along the bridge and the hundreds of troops camped on the northern bank of the river. The Septumculums planned to repair throughout the night and march at daybreak. "Okay, it's time to stop rubbernecking and get down there," said Narayana. "Any ideas of how we land with all those people on the ground?" "Oh, I have an idea," chuckled Juice as he drew in a deep breath and prepared to dive. "No!" exclaimed Versera. "Most of those people on the southern side are workers, not soldiers. They're just innocent people doing their jobs. You can't roast them." Juice sighed and said, "Very well, let's do this the hard way." The dragon tucked in his wings and dropped toward the ground at breakneck speed. He opened his wings and released a loud roar with a fiery blast over the tops of that worker's heads just before reaching the ground. The people were blown over and scrambled in panic as he rose up for a second pass. The dragon landed in the now empty field at the south end of the bridge and asked, "Now what?" "Now we fight," answered Narayana as she slid off his back and fired an arrow at the handful of soldiers charging off the bridge. The others leaped off Juice's back and Stavius ran toward the bridge while Versera and Janice drew swords and charged at the soldiers. Narayana managed to shoot two of their attackers with her arrows before the fighting became too close. She then dropped her bow and drew her blade to fight alongside her friends. The three of them battled the two remaining soldiers while Juice intimidated the workers in the field, and Stavius attempted to disable the bridge shield. 10 minutes later, the girls and Janice were victorious, but Stavius was having worse luck. Janice turned to see his friend grabbing the bridge with one hand while thrusting his other arm towards the ground.
He could see energy cascading over Stavius's body and charging like a continuous crackling lightning bolt into the ground, but the bridge shield was still holding. In fact, the entire bridge now had a lattice of glowing energy arcs surrounding it.
"Stavius," yelled Janice, "stop! This isn't working! They're pumping more energy into this thing every time you pull some out!" Stavius paused and turned to look at his friends and the bridge. Janice was right. The bridge now had a brightly glowing energy shield around it. The energy lattice had become solid and glowed a brilliant orange color in the near darkness.
"Guys, we have a problem," warned Versera.
"I know, I can't drain the energy off the shield fast enough," groaned Stavius as he panted for breath.
"No, we have another problem. Reinforcements are on their way over the bridge. They're still a few minutes out, but I can hear the stomping of their boots, and they're running fast," she explained.
"And that's not all," added Juice as he held the workers and soldiers on the south bank back. "These guys just got some more help as well, and I'm not going to have enough fire to burn the bridge if I keep this up much longer."
The three heroes and Janice spun around to see 30 more soldiers appear at the edge of Juice's flames. Stavius quickly knelt, reached both hands to the ground, and raised a glimmering force field between the 30 soldiers and themselves.
"Whoa, now that is cool," marveled Versera.
"Yeah, but why didn't you do that before?" muttered Narayana.
"Because my shield is going to go away as soon as I try to take out the bridge shield," Stavius brusquely answered. "Now, let me put one across the bridge entrance."
"No, wait, I have a better idea," said Juice with a mischievous grin.
The big dragon turned around and backed into the bridge. Sparks cascaded off the now solid shield as he squeezed his massive rear end into the shimmering tube.
"Hey, Narayana, pull my finger," he laughed as he gingerly held out a claw.
"You have got to be kidding," groaned Narayana. "That's gross."
"Oh, come on, do it for good luck," begged the dragon.
"But hurry up, I can't hold this in much longer, and these guys are getting dangerously close."
Narayana relented, pulled his talon, and a noise that sounded like an ocean liner's foghorn rang down the bridge tube for several seconds. Juice grinned and explained that he had eaten a side of beef with a large patch of wild onions for lunch.
Just one more thing to make this perfect, he added as he removed his hindquarters from the tube. He took a deep breath, turned around, thrust his long neck into the energy tube up to his shoulders, and blew out. The others could see people collapsing as a viscous brown cloud billowed down the bridge tube across the river. Juice withdrew his head and stumbled a bit, saying, "Wow, perhaps that last touch wasn't such a good idea." He changed his mind a minute later when they heard screaming and wailing from across the river as the noxious cloud reached the encamped army. "You know, I've been told that flatulence is one of my greatest strengths," he bragged. "Maybe, but it might not be something you want to boast about," noted Versera as she tried to wave away the lingering stench. "Yeah, I've been told that too," grunted Zeus with a shoulder shrug. "Now what?" Stavius said, "Now you take off and prepare to smash this bridge while the rest of you fight our guests over there. I have an idea, and it has to do with those soldiers trying to sneak around that weak spot in my wall." "I'm on it," shouted Narayana as she raced to attack the invading soldiers. "What's your plan?" asked Versera as she scanned for other weak points in the shield. "Your last attempt didn't go so well." "Yeah, I know, but that weak spot in my shield by that demolished guardhouse just reminded me of something," answered Stavius as he desperately tried to regain his composure. "Of course, the energy sink!" exclaimed Janice. "They have some sort of energy sink by the guardhouse which drains all magical energy. They use it as a sort of magical strip search for visitors to the city. Do you think it would be strong enough to suck the bridge's energy if you could connect the two?" "I don't know, but it's worth a shot. I'm just a little scared about making the connection," admitted Stavius. "The energy really burned as it flowed through me last time, and a lot more energy will travel through me if this works." "You need to control your ki," said Versera. "I need to control my what?" asked Stavius as he turned to stare at her. "My Earth Mom is a practitioner of holistic medicine. You know, things like acupuncture, yoga, Reiki, and lots of meditation. Your ki is your life force. It flows smoothly and quietly through your body if you are serene, but becomes rough and turbulent if you are stressed. At least, that's what she believes," offered Versera. "So you're like a superconductor if you're chill and like a resistor if you're stressed," interpreted Janice. "Yep, and you know how resistors heat up when current goes through them," added Versera. "So you expect me to be calm and find my inner peace while we're being attacked by a platoon of soldiers and I'm trying to channel an unbelievable amount of energy through my body? Oh, and don't forget that my protective barrier will go down as soon as I start," said Stavius. "Well, gee, nobody said it was going to be easy," grumbled Versera, and all three of them laughed. "Are you guys having a nice break over there?" asked Narayana. The soldiers could only slip through Stavius's barrier one at a time and had withdrawn after Narayana quickly dispatched the first three squeezing through the gap. "Okay, Narayana's bored. Let's drop the energy wall so she has something to entertain her." "I'm ready," said Stavius. "Give me 10 more seconds before you start. I want to invite a friend," Janice mysteriously requested as he darted off into the darkness. "All right, let's go in 10, said Narayana as she and Versera drew their swords. The two girls counted down from 10, yelled a war cry, and charged forward as Stavius dropped his barrier and reached out to the bridge shield. The guardhouse was 50 feet away, and he needed to stretch the bridge shield close enough to arc the energy off his other arm to the magic sink. It was a slow process, but he inched forward step by step. He was utterly focused on making the connection and hoped that his friends would keep the soldiers at bay. The soldiers charged as soon as the barrier fell, and the two girls stood back-to-back fighting the onslaught. They were highly trained warriors, but they knew they could only protect Stavius for a few minutes at most. There were just too many enemies attacking. A thunderous crack echoed across the river valley, and the ground shook. Versera glanced up to see an enormous, monstrous form climbing out of a rift in the earth. It looked like a pair of glowing eyes wrapped in fire and smoke, and it released a fiery blast at the enemy platoon as it rose to its full 20-foot height. The soldiers slowed their assault for a moment, and Narayana grumbled, "Now what?" Versera answered, "Don't worry, it's just Janice and his Balrog illusion." Narayana smashed the side of a soldier's head with the flat of her blade and said, "I've never known an illusion to shake the ground like that." "That's his warrior magic, but I don't think he has very many blasts left. He's hoping the illusion scares him off before he runs out." "Well, good luck with that," Narayana panted. "I'm about to run out of energy, too. I hope Stavius is close." At that moment, the five soldiers rushing toward the girls exploded in a fiery blast, and Narayana explained, Holy crud, there's a second Balrog!
Versera shouted that it wasn't possible before screaming as she turned to see another, angrier Balrog stomping toward them from the west, throwing fireball after fireball at the troops. Stavius felt the ground shake again and again, but wouldn't permit himself to be distracted by the battle surrounding him. He had to trust that his friends would protect him as he focused on one thing and one thing only, connecting the bridge to the magic sink. He was almost there when a blast struck so close that he stumbled backward.
No!
He yelled as he regained his lost ground and dove toward the magic sink. He blasted his charge directly at the energy sink and felt a massive surge of power as he, the bridge, and the sink connected. First, he felt like his skin was on fire. Then he felt like his guts were on fire. Then his whole body began vibrating so hard that he thought he was going to be torn apart. This seemed to go on forever until he hit a point where he couldn't hang on anymore, and a strange thing happened. He relaxed. The connection was still going, but Stavius was no longer gripping the bridge and straining to reach the magic sink. He was merely standing there and letting the energy flow through him. The joint-ripping vibrations faded to a low buzz, and the burning sensation cooled from searing heat to warm hum. Then everything stopped, and he collapsed onto the ground in darkness. Stavius made his connection, causing a 6-foot diameter arc of energy to flow from the bridge, through the boy, and into the ground. The guardhouse exploded into a cloud of smoke, and everyone within 100 yards was knocked to the ground. The bridge shield became a brilliant white before fluctuating with pulsing colors. Reds, purples, yellows, greens, and even black oscillated back and forth across the river in an almost hypnotic dance. Suddenly, an ear-splitting crash exploded in the night sky as a flaming meteor flew through the air. It crashed through the center of the bridge and into the river beyond. The bridge shield immediately collapsed, and brilliant flashes of explosions appeared in the city across the river. The soldiers were ordered to avenge the destruction of their causeway, but turned and fled as the two terrifying Balrogs rose again and resumed their attack. Within minutes, the only sounds in the river valley were the fading echoes of the sonic boom, the splashes from the bridge collapsing into the river, and the footfalls of the fleeing soldiers being chased by the second Balrog. Versera and Narayana leaned on their swords to catch their breaths before turning to see Stavius crumpled on the ground. The fires from the burning bridge and guardhouse cast a haunting glow and flickering shadows over the boy. His clothes had been burned off him, and steam or smoke wafted up from his naked body. Narayana took one step toward him, and Versera caught her as she stumbled, causing both to collapse onto the ground, too tired to move. The adrenaline rush from the battle had drained out of their systems. All they could do was to sit on the ground in each other's arms, sobbing. Janice raced past and reached his friend first. He knelt beside him for several long minutes while the girls, who were too exhausted to even shout out a question, shivered in fear that their friend was dead.
"He's okay," Janice shouted. "Well, not really okay, but he's still alive. The crazy fool is still alive."
Versera and Narayana hugged each other as two more shadowy figures appeared out of the gloom. Tara raced over to her nephew while Elisa continued running to stand at the shore of the river and stare into the darkness.
"Nice Balrog," whispered Janice as he choked back his own tears when Tara reached him.
"Hey, I read Tolkien too," answered Tara. "Besides, Elisa did the illusion while I threw the fireballs. Thank you for looking out for my nephew. It was very considerate to elude some clothes for him."
"Yeah, well, it was the least I could do. I still can't believe the guy did it and survived," answered Janice.
"Me either," agreed Tara. "Me either."
"Hey, we'd better get out of here before those soldiers come back," suggested Versera, who had finally limped over to Stavius' side with Narayana.
"Yeah, let's grab juice and get going," chuckled Narayana, who suddenly appeared panicked after she said it.
"Wait, that fireball hitting the bridge was juice, and that sonic boom was him going supersonic on his dive. What happened to him?" she cried as she limped as quickly as she could towards the riverbank.
Elisa stopped her midway.
"He's not there, Narayana," she whispered. "Perhaps he floated downstream, or perhaps he washed up on the other bank, or perhaps..."
She broke down in sobs before she could continue. Narayana put her arm around the girl and whispered,
"Or perhaps he just went home."
Elisa pushed her away and stared into Narayana's eyes.
"No, he wouldn't have done that," Narayana cried. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry."
Both girls collapsed on the ground in tears.
"Seriously, guys, we need to get out of here. We can grieve later," shouted Janice. Narayana and Elisa were inconsolable, and Stavius was barely conscious, so the others magically transformed odds and ends they found into a small cart. It had two wheels, just enough room to hold Stavius, and a long pole with two crossbars at the front.
They gently lifted Stavius into the carriage, and four of them picked up the pole and pushed against the crossbars to begin the long walk home to Juice's cave.
Tara guided the way, and Janice periodically cast spells behind them to hide their tracks. They reached the base of Juice's hill an hour later, and Stavius climbed out when they stopped.
He said he thought he could walk the rest of the way with some help, and the others quickly disassembled and dematerialized the cart before beginning the final ascension.
"Thanks for eluding the clothes, man," Stavius whispered to Janice as he leaned on his friend's shoulder. "Just don't let the girls know I'm really naked." "Trust me, they know, dude. They know," chuckled Janice as Stavius groaned with embarrassment. His friend was going to be all right. The six of them stumbled out of the woods to be greeted by the three baby dragons, awake and running around way past their bedtimes.
"Hey, what are you doing up, and where is your mother?" asked Elisa.
"Who can sleep with all the fireworks going off?" asked Mintaka. "Oh, and Mom is in the cave taking care of Dad." All six of the humans ran into the cave with Stavius and Janice limping as quickly as they could. Juice was lying in his nest while Safe fussed around him like a mother hen.
"Let me in to help," said Tara as she began conjuring some healing spells.
Juice looked bruised, burned, and battered, but he seemed to be relishing all the attention. He smiled at Narayana and said, "Never, ever blast a ball of dragon fire out of your mouth when you're going supersonic. It does not end well." All the fear, tension, and stress from the past few days were suddenly released from everyone in the cavern. They laughed and cried and laughed some more without knowing why. Tomorrow some of them would leave, but tonight they all rested on the ground in this warm, safe cave to enjoy a brief respite and share the tales of their success.